we are his children. Affirming that we are his children. I'm going to start with that, and then I'm going to develop this and ask a different question, if you like. If we are the Spirit's children, we will want to know as much as we can about him. So what visual clues are there that might help us to know the Spirit better? Now that sounds like nonsense, doesn't it? Because it's a spirit, right? You don't see a spirit. But, well, we're only human, and it does help if we can picture things in our minds. And there are visual clues, ancient and modern, which I'll talk about later on. So we begin with the Spirit affirming that we are God's children. And it's one of the most reassuring of the Spirit's roles. Our text from Matthew's Gospel is the story of Jesus' baptism by the Baptist at the River Jordan. As soon as Jesus is baptized, he saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And God's voice is heard saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." And I see a parallel here with our identity as children of God. Let's think for a moment that Jesus' baptism, it was the moment when, for the first time in his earthly life, Jesus was recognized as the Son of God, the Messiah. For us, our baptism into the church is the moment when we are recognized as children of God. Now, the parallel is by no means exact, is it? Because Jesus was the Son of God by being divine as well as human. That was his essence. And we're called the children of God in a different sense because we are just human. And in our case, we do need to recognize our identity as children of God if we are to enjoy the sort of relationship with God that he intends us to have. This idea of the children of God runs right through the New Testament. I'll just give you three little quotes here. John's Gospel, very near the beginning. "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but of God." And in the letter to the Christians, Paul says, "Those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God." And in the first letter of John, we read, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, for that is what we are." This understanding that we can rely on God's parental love is central to our faith. Do we actually feel it? Do we actually feel that we are the children of God? Is the Spirit giving us the feeling that of parental concern for us? Yes, in many, many, many ways. Other preachers have spoken about this, and I can't list them all. Here. But I want to develop this theme in a different direction. Now, the Holy Spirit is difficult to imagine in any physical way, right? Can we perhaps enrich our knowledge and our understanding of the Spirit with the help of visual clues? Are there perhaps descriptions of the Spirit in fiction that are useful to us? Well, the first visual clue is right there in today's Gospel passage, where the Spirit is described as descending like a dove. We can't be sure if the people present there by the River Jordan actually saw a dove, or whether this just describes how the Spirit moves. It does say it came down like a dove, so I suspect it's the move. Perhaps the people felt an aura of peace because the dove is the symbol of peace, and they would have known there was the wind and the tongues of fire that came and settled on the disciples at Pentecost. Another visual clue, but we don't think of the Spirit as having the form of a dove or as fire. We think of him as a person. And this is, of course, biblical. In John's Gospel, Jesus tells the disciples that the Spirit will come to them after he is gone. Jesus refers to the Spirit as he, in other words, as a person. We believe in one God in three persons. The Trinity appears quite often in pictures. For instance, if you'd be looking at the Lenten study booklet that many of us are using right now, there's a picture of three elderly men in medieval dress. And they are, of course, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're sitting on three sides of a four-sided table. And this picture would have been, I'm sure, useful in medieval times to help people imagine the Holy Spirit as part, as a person, part of the Trinity. And now I'm coming on to my fourth visual clue, and this is a modern one, in fact, one from the 21st century. It's a portrayal of the Holy Spirit as a person, and it's a bit far out, so be prepared. It comes from Hollywood. Yes, you heard that right. As a portrayal of the Spirit by Hollywood. In 2017, a movie appeared called The Shack, based on an early novel of the same name. And when The Shack came out, my house church went to see it as a group. And I don't think any of us will forget it. Now, you may know it already. Maybe there's a bit of another recognition. But I'll describe it for those who don't know anything about it. The central figure in the movie is a tormented man named Matt. He is tormented by family tragedy, by guilt, and by despair. And one day he finds a note in his mailbox inviting him to drive deep into the forest where he will find a shack. The people who live there will help him. So he drives to the shack, and at the shack he meets God. He meets God in three persons. The three persons welcome him as a guest. Now the part of God the Father is played by a middle-aged African-American woman who is all about good cooking, jokes, and laughter. The part of Jesus is played by a young white man who is all about carpentry and long conversations filled with truth, and sometimes hard truth, and wisdom. So what about the Holy Spirit? What has been done to portray the Holy Spirit? Well, the part of the Spirit is played by a young Japanese woman. Her name is Sarayu, which means the wind in Sanskrit. We got that from the website, I think. The wind. And there's an obvious connection here with the word ruach, the breath of God, mentioned in an earlier sermon. Now, Sarayu says very little. Instead, she moves gracefully and rather mysteriously behind the scenes, very gently putting things right when they look like going wrong, and very gently soothing their tormented guests. Sarayu enacts the love of a parent. She is the caring figure, showing that Matt can only be healed by accepting the love of God as a child accepts the constant love of a parent. And after a few vicissitudes, Matt is indeed healed. And this, if you were here last week, you know, mirrors what Julian was saying about healing. Now you don't see Sarayu in every scene, but you get the feeling she is everywhere all at once, like the wind. And this is, of course, a Christian idea. that God is everywhere in our world, all the time. The theologians have even coined a word for it, that God is immanent. Don't you just love theological words? Theology has been going so long, and it seems to have come up with new words for every possible idea. So we have the word immanence, and God's immanence is well illustrated in the part of the Spirit in this movie. Now, the movie The Shack caused quite a stir when it came out. A few people called it sacrilegious, even though the novel it came from was written by a committed Christian. And after all, Jesus himself talked through stories, some of them probably considered far out by those who heard them. And The Shack tries to do much the same. Before I finish, I'd just like to quote to you from the original novel. It describes Mac's impression of Sarayu, of the Holy Spirit. Now, okay, it's fiction, it's just imagination. Let's see what you make of it anyway. As Sarayu stepped back, Mac found himself involuntarily squinting in her direction, as if doing so would allow his eyes to see her better. But strangely, he still had difficulty focusing on her. She seemed almost to shimmer in the light, and her hair blew in all directions, even though it was hardly a breeze. It was almost easier to see her out of the corner of his eye than it was to look at her directly. And that's the end of the quote. So that's it. I find the story of the shack and the portrayal of the Holy Spirit very helpful in understanding what it is to be a child of God, and I hope other Christians find it helpful in the same way. Amen.